direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Going to the lines, Bill of Shorewood, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Bill of Shorewood?
Hi, Matt. I have a question for you as a great lawyer that you are. Yesterday, toward the end of the hearing, it became clear that Trump was scamming a bunch of donors by keeping the big lie alive. He sent out hundreds of emails to his various lists asking them to donate to a defense fund so that the election could be overturned. Within the first week, he collected $100 million. Eventually, the sum rose to $250 million. My question for you, Matt, is now that the scam is exposed, can these donors form a class action suit to get some of their money back? And secondly, is Trump liable under the wire fraud statutes as a criminal matter? Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Excellent questions. And the answer is yes and yes. And there are other statutes as well. Let me give you a couple of analogies. In this case, you know, he raised $250 million. He paid his son's girlfriend, Kimberly Guilfoyle's, Don Trump Jr.'s girlfriend, $60,000 for giving one 2.5-minute speech. That's 150 seconds that somehow upheld the big lie. But more to the point, more importantly, some of that money has gone to it, and it's been shown publicly, to Trump hotels, Trump business enterprises, and very little of it was spent at all. In fact, not much that I can think of on any legal proceedings, which is what he was promising to overturn the election. Now, give you some history and some background. And a lot of people may say, well, you know, he had pretty broad discretion on what he was going to do with it. Well, not exactly. You remember Steve Bannon started a fund and they were going to build the wall and what they did with Mexico. And he raised millions of dollars and not all of it, but some of it, certainly well into the six figures, was paid to him and some affiliated enterprises. He was criminally convicted for that, for fraud. And he only snuck out because Trump pardoned him. And there are many, many, many instances. There's some scams that'll call you up and they'll say they're raising money for the police or for children somewhere. And 95% of it goes to staff salaries. It's basically just an engine to get money out of you. Some classic examples a long time ago. The classic was, a guy puts an advertisement in the paper and he says, send me $5 and I will send you a copper engraving of Abraham Lincoln. So he raised a lot of money. He get your $5 and he would mail you back a penny. A penny is a copper engraving of Abraham Lincoln. He went to jail for that. In other words, yes, technically that's what it was, but that didn't pass the smell test. Another guy just sent out an advertisement saying, please send me your dollars. So they said, people sent him their dollars. There was a state senator in Milwaukee back in the 50s and 60s, one term, who would send out these fraudulent solicitations and say it's for this, and he ended up being criminally prosecuted. So Trump says, and here's what his defense would be, and yes, they can certainly put together class action. Class actions were easier to do back in, say, Bill Clinton's day and so forth. The Republicans have attacked and attacked and attacked. There has to be a commonality of purpose and a commonality of interest. And defense lawyers opposing class actions are experts at trying to pick it apart and say that, well, they all differed in some respect. But my view is, yes, that could be a class action. And then what you do is, you'll have, you know, John and Alice and Mary and Harry. They go, well, I sent in $50. I sent in $100 and I expected him to use it to stop the steal. I didn't expect him to use it to pay to one of his corporations or his son's fiance or girlfriend or whatever. The defense lawyers will say, well, you know, stopping the steal involved a lot of things. He had to travel, he had staff, blah, blah, blah. But if I were a judge, I'd let it go to a jury. I wouldn't dismiss that out of hand. What he did is fraudulent. He did this partially to raise money. Partially to raise money for a couple of reasons. One, a nest egg to run again in 2024. But the other one was simply because he needs cash. He is he's not liquid. And frankly, I don't think he's as wealthy as he says he is. And this is a way of scamming cash out of people. So thanks an awful lot for calling in. Excellent, excellent point. You know, we talked about in the past how Republicans have injected violence into our political discourse. Trump saying, well, Hillary Clinton, the Second Amendment people should take care of her. Her bodyguards should be disarmed. Encouraged his crowds to beat up protesters and said he'd pay their legal fees. Well, and then Lauren Boebert, Paul Gosar had some kind of a video out in which he kills Ocasio-Cortez and then he attacks Biden. I would have prosecuted him for that because that is just a representational way of threatening violence. Lauren Boebert got up in front of a church crowd the other day and she said, every day I pray for Joe Biden's demise, and I pray, may his days be few, quoting a psalm. Well, the psalm in question goes on, and it's much even tougher and worse than that. But in the psalm, it talks about your enemy, and an enemy for good reason. Joe Biden's a wartime president. He's a wartime president. There's a varying degrees of sophistication in how the Republican Party advocates violence. But they are advocating violence. They're advocating death. Dr. Fauci and his kids have to have security. A lot of people in the Democratic Party have to have security. Health commissioners in some states. Polling officials in some states. Now, when you say, I pray for his demise and quote the psalm, is that actionable as a threat? Probably not. Probably not. There was a famous case, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, where some people down in Kentucky or West Virginia got together and they prayed for somebody's death and they had a voodoo doll and they stuck pins in it. And the DA was encouraged to prosecute them, but he looked at it and he said, you know, it's kind of just metaphorical. It's kind of representational. But here's my point. Why test the boundaries of the law? Where has our democracy gone? Where you can have Lauren Boebert, a member of the House of Representatives from Colorado, praying for the death of the president. That's treason. A wartime president. You can disagree with the president. You can disagree with certain things. But advocating his death from a high position like Congress gives ideas to disturbed 18-year-olds. The Republican Party, has reinjected violence in our politics for the first time since it appeared after Abraham Lincoln's election in 1860. And it's got to stop. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.